This is Stadium to Boardroom. Listen in as top athletes tell their stories on how they developed into successful entrepreneurs and business leaders. They reveal their own aha moment of transformation from the stadium to the boardroom.
Hi, I'm Robert Reese.
And I'm Lynn Green.
And welcome, America, to Stadium to Boardroom. This is the one show where we interview top athletes who have turned their career into becoming top business people. You are going to learn the secrets of that. And our guest today is Dara Torres. How are you, Dara?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
And Dara, as many of you know, she's actually, I believe, the single most decorated U.S. female Olympic athlete of all time. The only one I've ever heard of who's been in five different Olympic settings and has, I think, 12 medals, but then has done tremendous work in the business and entrepreneurial settings. And she's going to tell you about the challenges that she went through in building that. So first, let's start talking through, give us an answer. Would you say, are there any tie-ins between success in sports and success in business or not? And I know you started at 15 and until 41, you were in the Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you really do learn a lot in sports. And when you're that young and you go, my first Olympics, I was 17 years old, and you can't really appreciate because you're so young, like your surroundings and what's happening. And you don't really realize what you're learning through athletics actually at some point will pay off in your life. And I feel like in athletics, you learn about hard work, you learn about sacrifice, dedication, time management, and all of those things that while you're, you know, trudging away doing, you know, your for me, two, you know, swim workouts a day, weight training, running, like all that stuff. In addition to, you know, all the schoolwork you have to do, you learn how to sort of manage it. And I feel like that really, the what you learn through athletics really trickles out into other aspects of your life.
What kept you motivated to train and improve your skills from age, you know, 15 to 41? That's a long period of time to stay motivated. And yet that kind of motivation is what entrepreneurs have, because people say to them, aren't you going to retire after your first million? And they say, no, we're going to keep on going. That to me is an important intangible. Can I ask you about that?
Yeah, you know, actually, I started swimming when I was seven, so it's a little longer than that. But my first world record was at 15, so I think that's you know. So I've been doing it since a very, very young age, and I feel like, you know, for me, it's goal setting, and I wanted to make an Olympic team. When I broke my first world record at 15, it was like, that's it. I want to go to the Olympic Games, because if you think about it, the Olympic Games are for in the amateur athletics world. It's the biggest event in the world that happens every 4 years, when the top athletes from every country is going to be there. And so that was my goal. And once you attain a goal, it's like, okay, you want more. And you know, and it's hard because, you know, it's not easy to do that. And there are times when I got frustrated with the sport. I retired because I thought I was too old, took off for many years, came back, and then retired again, and then came back. And I think I just really had such a love for the sport that I decided to, you know, keep going. But each time I went to the Olympics, there was a new challenge. Like my first one was like, oh, okay, I'm young. You know, I'm 17. Not a lot of 17-year-olds can say they've been in Olympic Games. Then the next one, you know, I was in college. I wanted to go another one. The third one, I had retired for a year. I came back. I was 25 back in 92. You don't normally see back then kids out of college competing in Olympic Games because there's not a lot of money in the sport of swimming. Then I took off 7 years, came back in 2000. I wanted to do that because I was 33 and you can't, you know, it'd be my fourth Olympics. And oh my gosh, a 33-year-old going to Olympic Games. And then the last one I went to in 08, I had a child. I'm like, oh, well, I've had a child. And, you know, not many people could say they've had a kid and come back and swim in Olympics 2 years later as a woman. So there were always challenges for me. And thank you. There were always challenges for me. And that's what kind of kept me going is the challenges and the goals.
So when you're talking about challenges and each Olympic was a new challenge, we've already spoken and you had enormous challenges going into first public speaking, coming out, and here you are, this Olympian, but you were doing bottom level, like at everything. And, you know, talk about what that was like, what those challenges were, including public speaking, and what you learned about facing those challenges.
Two of my main joys post-swimming were journalism and public speaking. And as far as journalism goes, I went to the University of Florida. One of the reasons why I wanted to go there is they have a really good journalism school there. And there you could do, and this, remember, this is back in the mid-80s, you can do, you get the experience because they had a radio station there just for the school. And so you couldn't graduate unless you went through the different parts of the journalism school learning the skills. First thing was I had to intern. So I went to NBC Sports to intern and to CNN to see if I wanted to get into the written part of journalism, but I realized I didn't want to after, I mean, I liked my internship, but I didn't want to after that. And then, I became a runner at Wimbledon and I was getting coffee for Dick Enberg and Bob Costas and running around center court and all doing all these, you know, things that runners have to do. And then I ended up getting a job at NBC as a production assistant, a PA. And I actually was when they had the NFL show and OJ Simpson was on it and Bob Costas, they had me sit behind Bob Costas, and it was before they had digital stuff. And I was like the Vanna White of the NFL, and I had to stand up and go and turn the scores when different NFL teams would score. So I had to get up behind Bob, walk over to the scoreboard, turn the numbers, and then go sit down behind him. So I definitely started like from the bottom and sort of worked my way up. And I tried to get on to do some television at local news stations in New York, not in New York City, but like Massapequa or, you know, smaller little areas. And then honestly, what happened was I got asked to do the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Issue. When that happened, ESPN came calling and I started doing some work for them. So I started off small, but, and, you know, did sort of the grunt work with being an intern and the runner and all that stuff. And then, you know, a door opened because of my background with swimming and doing some modeling. But the public speaking, you know, that's something I never wanted to do. And you would think that athletes, because we're interviewed all the time, would be very easy for us to go stand on a podium and just talk. And it is very, for me, it was very unnerving. I don't like people staring at me, at least when you're in front of a camera and you're doing TV, it's just a lens and that's it, not hundreds of people or thousands of people, you know, staring at you while you're speaking. And so I kind of felt like Al Brooks in the movie Broadcast News when he never did on air and he got put on air and was just profusely sweating and was just a wreck. And I remember I'd go up, I'd have my whole speech written and I'd try to memorize it. And I'd get up in front of an audience and it really sounded like I was reading off a piece of paper, because I was. And I realized that people were disinterested in what I was saying because I wasn't connecting with them. And then one day I went back out to California where I grew up in LA and went to my old high school, which was an all girls private school at the time, but they combined with a boys school. And the headmaster there asked me if I would speak. And I said, I don't have anything prepared. Like, I can't do that. He's like, just go up and tell some stories. You'll be fine. And so I went up there and these are, you know, high school kids, teenagers. And I get up on the stage and I just start talking and start telling stories from the Olympics and just stuff that I thought that they would be interested in. And they were like mesmerized. Like they were just watching my every word. No one was on their phones. I was like, okay, this is how you do it. You tell stories.
Okay. We both have had some success, okay, in writing books. Okay, what motivated you to take that? And there's a lot of time and energy that goes into doing books. And I kind of thought I was doing it because I was conveying some messages that would help people. But what specifically, as far as your case?
I had no intentions of writing a book. Like it wasn't something that I wanted to do. HarperCollins had reached out to my agent and some other agencies did. And when that happened, I was like, well, I don't know if I have the time to do this. I have a toddler at home, you know? And as I was trying to think if I wanted to do this, I was taking time to think about it. People would come up to me and tell me how they love my story and, you know, start asking me questions. And then I finally realized, like, maybe I should write a memoir. And so I worked with a ghostwriter, and, you know, we did hours and hours and hours of interviews. She really captured my voice and really helped me put it together onto paper. I decided to do another one because a lot of people started coming up to me and say, how do your abs look like that? How are you so in shape? Like, you know, and I thought, you know, it'd really, really fun to write a book that had to do with fitness and health. And so I wrote a book called Gold Medal Fitness, and that did pretty decent too. So, but then after doing that, I'm like, okay, I'm done with books. Just, you know, it was like another challenge. I did it. On to the next thing for me.
which is great.
We're about to take a commercial break. When we come back, you're going to hear more from Dara Torres. Back in a few.
Chances are you're paying too much in taxes. With 47 years of trusted service, the Green Group provides a one firm solution for your taxes and finances. We go beyond the typical accounting firm and invest ourselves into understanding the intricacies of your business. Founder and owner Leonard Green is a successful businessman and author of the book, The Entrepreneur's Playbook. Call 732-634-5100 for a complimentary and confidential consultation, or visit www.greenco.com. The Green Group will save you money.
Hi, this is Robert Reese and Len Green on Stadium to Boardroom Show, where we interview the top athletes who then became top business people. And there's so much we could talk about on your business side. But one thing really interesting is when you did the DVDs, and I think they were, you know, with Billy Blanks, they were like the all-time selling best DVDs. What was the secret in the success? Because everyone wants to know about Martin.
You know, so that got brought up to me. My agent had brought up to me that there's a guy named Billy Blanks, and he does this Taibo stuff, and it's a really popular workout. And I love fitness. I love working out. But all I could keep thinking about was that guy, Tony Little, who would like scream into the TV, like doing the, you know, infomercials. And I just like, that wasn't me. And that's all that was like stuck in my head. So when I got asked to do it, I'm like, I don't want to do this. And they said, well, we'll fly you out to California, because I was living in New York at the time. We'll fly out to California and you'll take a class. And then, you know, you could decide to meet Billy and his team and stuff and see if you want to host these infomercials. So I was like, okay. So they flew me out and I actually went for like a 6-mile run. I'm thinking, how hard can these, you know, workouts be? Went for a 6-mile run and went over to his studio at like 11 o'clock. And literally, as I was walking in, the windows were just drenched with perspiration coming down. And Shaq was walking out. I'm like, oh, my God. And so I went in there. I'm like, this still has got to be easy, you know. And they put one of his trainers next to me. And I literally, it was like a 45 or 50 minute class. I stopped like every 5 seconds to say, oh, like, am I doing this right? Just so I can get my breath. Like, I was so exhausted. And I was making up any question I could to take a break from this workout, because I was dying. I probably shouldn't have run six miles before I did it. But after going to lunch with him too, and just, you know, chatting with him, I thought, you know, I'm sorry if you hear dogs barking. Those are my four dogs downstairs. I apologize if you hear them. You know, I decided that I wanted to do it. And, you know, sometimes you make good deals, sometimes you don't make good deals. I really enjoyed shooting it. It became an overnight success. I had been in 3 Olympics at that point, and no one knew who I was as an Olympian. They all knew me as the Thai Bow girl. The only disadvantage that I had is I didn't do a back end deal. And I did an upfront deal, and the thing took off. And I really had wished I had done a back end deal, because I would have been really rich right now. So, you know, you learn from your mistakes, but it was, you know, exposure is great. And even though I didn't get the money that, you know, I probably could have, I got a ton of exposure for it. And that led to other jobs.
Let's talk about women entrepreneurs. And I've been on the goal, as many of you know, to get there to be more Fortune 500 women CEOs. But we know there are not enough successful women, and it's usually because they're not given the opportunity. They're not given the roles. Now that's opening up a little, which is good.
Right.
I want to know what advice you have, because not many people were an Olympian before they're trying to do something. And there are so many people with great ideas. You've been spokesperson for over 100 top companies. What advice do you have to women on succeeding in business, be it on the corporate side, on the entrepreneurial side, and if they don't have that background of being an Olympian, but maybe they're an Olympian at heart?
Look, being an Olympian at heart is great. Being an athlete, there are definitely doors that open. Having a connection, your father's does something, like doors open, but not everyone is lucky enough to have those opportunities. And, it's really about, instead of stuff being handed to you, it's about the hard work you put in.
Yeah. And Robert, if I had to draw a line, of, is there any connection between all the people that you interview as CEOs and all the ones that we have that come to Babson? It's that there isn't any real work-life balance if you really want to succeed. You almost have to put in all the time and effort and then try to have some kind of work-life balance somewhere else. Is that, and I'm sure that that's what's happened to you, isn't it, Sarah?
Well, yeah. When I was younger and I had swim meets every weekend and I missed, school dances and I missed, other stuff going on. But then again, like at 14, 15, I'm traveling to Europe and swimming in meets over there representing the United States. And, there's sacrifices. When I talked earlier about hard work, dedication, and sacrifices, there are sacrifices you have to make to be the best. You just have to prioritize what's important to you. And once you get to a certain point in your life, then you can, add in some of the stuff. But I also think it's important, to have a life too. You don't want to just be stuck in a rut of doing the same thing over and over and over again. You want to have outside influences and other things going on. I mean, that's a perfect example is, when I get parents who ask me, well, like when you started swimming, is that all you did? You didn't do anything else, right? When these kind of crazy parents, want their kids just to focus on one sport and that's it and not do anything else. But I would say no, like I always had other things going on. Like I didn't want to except for Olympic year when I just concentrated on swimming, that was great. But I had, I played volleyball and I played basketball and I had other things going on. So I feel like it's important to focus on what you want, set goals, but also have a life too.
The big question. You've done so much on both sides of the spectrum. How do you look at life going forward? Do you have a goal, a plan of anything you're trying to do? Or are you just moving forward and thinking of, let's see what opens up next?
You know what? I never look back. And people tease me because I never talk about the Olympics. I never talk about anything that I've done. I always look forward. I'm a forward thinker. I think about what I want. I do set goals. I'm always trying to see, what's next. I think it's hard for someone like me who, my Olympics was back. My last Olympics was back in 2008. So the further I get removed from being an Olympian, the less work you get. And so you have to work harder.
So what is it on the horizon that you want to do next? What's a big
I want to continue giving speeches. That's really what, my passion is and motivating people. That's really what I want to do is I want to continue being a motivational speaker.
Fantastic. And there you have it. What a pleasure it is having you on Stadium to Boardroom. And
thank
everyone,
you.
Well, thank you. Everyone, listen to what you learned from Dara Torres. Number one, biggest secret of CEOs, tell stories. That's how CEOs buy. That's how they sell. That's how they convince. Other than the handwritten note as being the secret language of CEOs, tell stories. And the second is, I love the way you phrase this, Dara, follow up with stuff. Just keep going. Whatever you're doing, follow up with that stuff.
Yep.
And Robert, what I took away also was the fact you don't look back and you keep on setting new goals all the time as long as you're enjoying what you're doing. Because when you're enjoying what you're doing, you're really not working.
Exactly.
Ben, out of over 1,000 CEOs, he's one of the most successful people I know in all five areas. And that's what he does. He's always looking forward.
Wow, that's awesome.
Stay well, young lady. You're doing
great. Thank you. It's so nice to meet you guys.
Thank you.